Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here with yours truly, Lisa Marie, on this beautiful Wednesday morning. And I hope that your midweek day, hallelujah, your work week day is going well. Hope you are having a great start to your work day. And I tell you, this is a beautiful day, the day the Lord has made. I am rejoicing, and I hope you are rejoicing and being in glad in it as well. I tell you, I'm excited to be here with you with part two. I was able to fit this in my busy day and to bring to you part two of this special message that I recorded in my journal. And what a blessing it is to minister to you. And I tell you, it was one that really speaks to what God is doing now, amen, and what is unfolding right before our eyes. And that is the new dominion, the new heaven and new earth, amen, coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And I tell you, that adornment is by way of our of his love, of the blood of Jesus, of the watching of the word, by way of our armor, hallelujah, by way of our experience, amen. And as the word of God said, experience worketh hope, amen, and hope make it not ashamed. And I tell you, that experience that I have, that I've gained in being adorned by walking in faith, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm able to come to you and share my testimony and all the beautiful experiences that I've had in being a mother and now a grandmother, and being just a child of God, being a child of light, having the adoption whereby I cry, Abba Father, being an heir, amen, in Christ, and joint in Christ. I tell you, that is a beautiful thing to behold. And I tell you, what a blessed time it is in the Lord and in the earth realm to be alive, to be born again of the water and spirit. And that's why I entitled this entry A Fresh Perspective from Soul to Spirit, because I was dead in trespasses and sins, and whatever it is that I would have been doing B.C., before Christ, it would have been in the old nature. And so now that I'm alive to Christ, hallelujah, being the first fruit, hallelujah, the firstborn, I'm now in spirit, amen. And all things are spiritual, Amen. Spiritual, then natural. That's why we have the supernatural. Amen. Spirit natural. Amen. And I'm excited about that, that I can come to you in the newness of life and to wake up every morning. Amen. With the finger of love, with Father God touching me. He's touching you and woke you up to see a new day. That's a beautiful thing. So I hope that you have a praise on your lips and a song in your heart unto him, making melody unto him. He loves that. And know that he's with you today. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but he will be with you even unto the end of the world. And that is the resurrected one. Hallelujah. All knowing, all seeing. Amen. He's alive. He is alive. Hallelujah. And so I'm excited to be with you on Wonderful Wednesday on the Stars of Heaven Network. And I'm excited about this new equinox that we're in, where the days are will be getting shorter, but the nights will be longer. And I tell you, that's why the Word of God said, work while it is day. Work while it's day, because at night no man can work it. Amen. And seek the Lord where he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Hallelujah. And I'm excited to get into part two of this message. But before I do that, I wanted to read a psalm to you that I was reading. And it's really, really blessed my soul. And it's coming from Psalms 133. And it's a song of degrees of David. And I love that, song of degrees. And when I'm often meditating upon the scripture, the Lord really gives me revelation on what that means. And the song of degree of David is the levels, the depth of his cry, the depth of his meditation, the depth of his praise. And so his song, which was manifested in the Psalms here, was really a blessing. It's a blessing to read, amen, because each psalm is so rich. And David poured out his soul, his praise, his complaint, his woe, his fears in the Psalms. And in his Psalms, you can see the depth of his relationship with the Lord, and you can see the depth of his love for God. And so I want to read Psalms 133, and it goes, behold how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It goes on to say, to dwell together in unity, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew of that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Hallelujah. And I wanted to read that to you, because he gave me that. And truly, it is a blessing for us to dwell together in unity as sisters and brothers in Christ. Amen. And that's how the anointing flows. Hallelujah. That's how the anointing flows, in us being in unity and oneness, because we are what? The body. Amen. The members of the body makes up the body of Christ. Amen. And I'm excited about the body of Christ. I'm excited about every member, every ministry gift that he's given us, amen, to edify us, and also to the anointing he's given us to reach the world by preaching the gospel, amen. So what I want to do now is quickly recap, because yesterday when I left off sharing with you how using Christ's example and him choosing the 12 apostles, and as I was sharing with you, and how the Lord gave me this, how I was ministering to the Lord, and how he was ministering back to me, and just sharing with me, and agreement with me about my heart, you know, the things that was on my heart. And I'm glad to be back to share more with you, because one of the things that I'm finding with people, with our young people, I mean, even with my generation, then I think God is now being remedied and God is bringing reformation. And one thing that I have had to come to understand in those years and years and years of me fellowshipping and me having a true desire to serve the Lord was that I was really a part of the harlot church. Many of the fellowships that I were a part of were the harlot church. And you have to remember there's two churches. One is the true church, which is the authentic true church, which is individualized. I'm the temple of God. You know, the true church is just those who truly love the Lord and are faithful. And I do believe that there's a remnant, which there is a remnant, of those who God has preserved and has kept for himself, who truly love him. Amen. And I know that remnant is the one that's going to make it in. But we have to be able to identify who the goats are. Amen. Who the wolves in sheep clothing is. Who are the false teachers and the false prophets. We got to be able to identify those who are part of the great mother of harlot and the beast that she wrote upon. Because, again, the harlot church is all about the money, filthy lucre, merchandising. And that's why the Word of God talks about us being careful as sheep and as followers, because many will try to make what? Merchandise of you. Now, I don't want to get off track on what I have in my notes, but I want to make that clear. And you understanding that and moving forward in your giftings. And as we teach our children to be able to go into the marketplace, they must understand and have identity, know who they are. And when Jesus selected the 12 apostles, amen, he started them out as apostles. They were disciples, but they were trained as apostles. Amen. And in them being chosen as apostles, he knew what they were. And the thing that I so love about the thing that the Lord gave me about the work week, coming to you with this piece of the work week, blessing you through the work week in your workplace, in the marketplace, is to help you gain an understanding on how you to govern yourself, amen, as believers, and how we're to be examples of the kingdom of heaven in our business practices, amen, and representing him if we're say we are a child of God, amen, a child of light. And so I'm really excited about that whole work week piece that he gave me, because he was saying he's doing that now. There's a restructuring, a reforming, even a plucking up of people who are in positions that shouldn't be, amen, because this whole thing about favor and being people put in positions that are not qualified, who mismanage and allow discord and allow confusion and mayhem to go on in the workplace, which is very destructive to not only other workers but to the vision of that company. Amen. And God is doing a work in that area, and I'm really charging those who are business owners and those who are leaders, whatever leader you are in whatever capacity and whatever vocation, that you begin to look at and let the Lord begin to work with you on how he can show you how to take it to a high level. Amen. Even restructure. Amen. Because there's always going to be people who are qualified, if they're not properly vetted or properly screened, will be put in positions because of someone's choosing them. And again, there's nothing wrong with the favor of God putting me. It's a difference between God's favor putting you someplace and somebody favoring you who only doing it for personal reasons. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have so many issues on every level. There's people who were elected or voted in due to certain entities. Amen. And my thing is, as the Word of God says, when the righteous is in reign, the people rejoice. But when the wicked is in rule, the people mourn. Amen. So we need leaders. And begin to train our children and be the leaders that we're supposed to be, so that we can set that example, amen, by God's standards and by being good, and simply by following the ethical guidelines that you were hired to, adhere to when you get hired, amen. That's where it starts, amen. And don't do anything outside of that, amen. Glory be to God. So and him sharing with us about the apostles and him selected them, he was saying that one of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing in raising our children, and as they're out and going out into the world and getting education, is to first and foremost encourage them in the right spirit to choose a legitimate profession. Because when Jesus called, chose the apostles, the disciples, they had legitimate professions. Amen. And he made them fishers of men. They were willing to follow him to become fishers of men. And that's the first thing I want to speak on the top of this broadcast and this message, is that they were had professions. They were professional people. We spoke to their professional experience. And he took them from their professions and made them fishers of men. So that's the first thing. Amen. And God can use anybody. Let me say that God can clean a bum up off the street and make him a minister and a preacher. So I'm not saying that you have to be a professional to be used by God. I'm not saying that. But I do believe this is one of his examples to the world and to those who are leaders. And you hiring people and choosing people, if they are not trained, which is what Jesus did. He told many of them to take up your cross and follow me. They were not trained. The purpose of training and choosing the disciples is to trust them with the message as they went about to make new disciples of men. Amen. As they went about to establish the kingdom of heaven and convert them to the Father by way of the gospel. And so as I was saying yesterday, we really need people who we can trust with our message. That's why I thank God for giving me this message, because it's really universal in every aspect. And if a lot of leaders and business owners would look at this example of Jesus in a spirit realm, amen, through spiritual eyes, amen, you can really see what needs to be corrected. Amen. And I don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. But clearly, if there's holes and leaks and there's problems that's existing, you really need to have people who are really professional and ethical, who can you can trust to be able to help bring about that correction and change. Amen. So that was the first thing he was saying, that they were ethical, they had professional careers. Because they were a thief or a bum or whatever, when Jesus got through with them, they were straight. Amen. They were straight. And that's because of deliverance. Amen. And because they believed that he was the Messiah. They believed that they believed his message. And most importantly, they loved him. Amen. They respected him. Amen. As the Son of God. And they loved him. So that's the first thing. A person has to love what they're doing. Amen. And be doing it for the right reason, not just getting a paycheck. And that brings me to the second thing that he shared with me in the second part of this message, is that in raising our children and them being sent down to the world, we must teach them true servitude, true servitude. And the danger of raising leaders, but they have not learned to be true servants, is that when they are tasked, when they're tasked or asked to do something that does not speak to I'm the leader, you know, they can't do it. They won't do it because it's not speaking to the quote-unquote the identity that they have made for themselves, or the identity they feel that they would have to live up to. And so we really need to teach our children to be true servants from the heart. And this is one of the things the Lord, I even experienced. The Lord, you know, had to help me with, and me being in the workplace and dealing with people who just want the chief seats, as Jesus said. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees love the chief seats. You have people who start businesses who want those top spots and positions because it speaks to leadership and authority, you know. But they have not learned true servitude. And this is where you have pride. This is where you have their character is skewed. Amen. That's where you see you have to have unethical behavior. You know, most certainly you see where you get spirit of competition, the spirit of competition. And certainly as a believer, if you are out in the workplace, in the marketplace, whatever position God has given you, you certainly should be competing with someone else. And there's a difference in healthy competition and competing with someone based on ego. And so that's one of the things that he was sharing with me, that many people just want to have businesses and all that stuff for the name's sake. And they really have not been taught how to serve from the heart, amen, because they truly love what they're doing and they really have a sincere desire to do it without fanfare or needing to be recognized. Which is why the message of the cross is so important. That's why the message of the cross is so important, because when you understand why you need to be crucified, your flesh needs to be crucified, and that's why the Word of God talks about dying daily, amen. That's why being born again of the water and spirit, being baptized, confessing your faults, confessing your sins, understanding how that old nature is just the way we were born. It's nothing to condemn you about. But it's that old nature, it's that mindset. And one of the most dangerous things that I've encountered with people who still have that mindset, who get saved in the church, is that they operate from the corporate anointing. It comes from the corporate world, and they come into church with that mess. And so everything's about jockeying and position and seeing you as a threat. And I was thanking God and praising God, hallelujah, he brought me from that mess. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, you took me out of that. You know, because I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to do what you called me to do. I don't have time for somebody to be playing favoritism and want me to get behind him and all this crazy stuff. No, my faith is going to make me whole. My faith is going to take me where I need to be. Amen. I'm going if I pass my test, I want my reward. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not getting in line. You know, I am the head, not the tail. Amen. So I certainly champion our young people to be the head, not the tail. But they need to have that attitude, amen, which will determine their altitude in the right spirit. And if many of our children have been taught that by those who are Christians and everything about being humble, they need to make sure they also have the right spirit. Because you can be a servant but not have the right spirit. Amen. And so in my days of being a counselor, and I was challenged with that. Amen. A person may be absolutely wrong, but I still had to have the right spirit and respond in the appropriate manner. Amen. And I had to remember that whatever I was doing unto the Lord. And that's why I started off the work week with the post that I put on Monday about being obedient to those who you are serving. Amen. Your supervisor, your manager, not giving them eye service, rolling your eyes and side-eyeing and all this stuff and all this attitude, you know, because the Lord will test, amen? And it's important to test your employees and test these people to see where they really are for you, where they really are one with your vision. Because as I was saying yesterday, I've seen a lot of moves be destroyed and marred because of this. Your passion is not enough. My passion and loving God is not enough. I need to have some word. I need to have some knowledge. Amen. I need to be able to teach. Amen. In a practical way where people can get it and understand it on the natural level so they can live this thing out and walk this thing out. Amen. And so in order to do that, we have to keep it in its simplicity. In its simplicity. Amen. Because the gospel is simple. It's simple. It's very simple. Amen. Jesus said he made it with a baby. We can understand. A child can understand it. And in order for you to understand the gospel, you have to have what? A childlike spirit. Amen. A childlike spirit and a humble spirit. So that's the second thing that I wanted to bring out is teaching our children how to deny themselves. Amen. The Word of God says all things are lawful, but is it expedient? Yeah, I can have that, but should I have that? Amen. And so you don't want to set our children up to have a spirit of entitlement. Yeah, they're entitled to what's actually theirs by their birthright. Amen. But they're entitled to it according to how they grow into it and how they're able to handle it, how they're able to govern it. Amen. And it's a setup by the devil. It's a setup by the devil. And that's one thing he don't want people to understand about the world, is that he knows that if we give our children everything and we push accomplishments and education, and he knows that they don't have that element of understanding that there is a spiritual world, two spiritual worlds, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness, and you all focusing on the light, and the accomplishment, and then your children get older, and because they're not in control of the world, and they don't have power with the principality, power with the air, they begin to deal with things later in life that you had no idea they were gonna experience because you did not give them what the foundation, which is the third thing I'm gonna speak to. That foundation, everyone should have a foundation. We need to have a spiritual foundation. Now, whatever foundation you choose that to be is your choice. But my foundation is Christ. Amen. And I tell you, if it was not for the foundation that I have in the Lord, him being my foundation first and foremost, amen, the body, the blood, the cross, the resurrection, the word, amen, which I build upon through confession, repentance, praise, worship, obedience, I would not be here, amen, because, again, everything we do will be tried and tested. Whatever you build will be tried and tested. And the Word of God tells us, amen, to try the Spirit, test the Spirit, whether it be of God, as we go about building and establishing the kingdom of heaven, as we go about establishing our businesses and establishing, fulfilling our dreams, amen, we have to make sure that we're doing it with the right spirit, and it's not being motivated and fueled by tangible stuff, amen, or fulfillment of just self-pride. That's wonderful and well and fine, but we don't want to set our children up to be leaders, and they can't deal with the highs and lows of life, amen. They can't deal with the different cycles of life, you know, because nobody's always up, amen. We have to allow life and allow the Lord to mold us and shape us, and that's why it's so important to have a relationship with Father God. He knows what's in us. He knows how to work in and work out of those things in us. Especially when we delight to do his will. Amen. David said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. Now, another thing that I want to bring to your attention and share with you is, as I was sharing yesterday about the foundation and every work that will be done, and not every work, but our arms. Not just every work that we do, but our arms. The arms that we give to the Lord. We give our arms to the Lord. We give our service to the Lord. And serving, we do that essence to the Lord. Because, again, when we get so caught up in works and what I'm doing, that can set up pride and also set up self-righteousness. And can also cause you to judge other people. Amen? To pass judgment on other people because they're not doing what you're doing. And that's the most dangerous thing you can do because we all have value. And it's one of the things that I wanted to bring out that I had left in my notes on a third point about the foundation is that everything we do must be manifested in good, in his glory, amen, reflected of producing life, amen. Not just trying to train people to be clones, amen, and to mimic and mock us, amen, to truly see and be able to see prophetically what's happening in this world and even know how we want to set the course, amen. We have the ability to set the course of this life, amen. That's the power we possess, the power I possess, amen. And, again, it depends on your spiritual positioning. Amen. The state of your soul. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, the highlight of this message is coming from Romans 8 chapter. Because what the Lord said to me is that what the earth is doing at this time, the earth is moaning and groaning, hallelujah, waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. And I'm going to go there now, Romans 8 chapter, because he gave me this. And he said, those who are crying out, those who are saying, Lord, help, Lord, bring change, Lord, help me. What they're crying out for is for you and for me. Let me read this for you. Romans 8 chapter 15 to 21st verse. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Again, when I was not saved, when you're not saved, there is always fear present. And the danger of having security in your career, in money, riches, because the word of God said, riches are deceitful. Amen. They can give you a false sense of security. Yes, it can give you financial security, and you can buy a life that you want. Amen. And create the life that you want and live where you want to live, but it does not really give true security for as your soul and knowing the outcome of life and where it's going to take you and what might be faced with. So in the world, it is fear because it's uncertain because of the prince of power of the air, because there's evil in the world. But Paul was saying here, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's me, that's you. We're born again. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It goes on to say in the 16th verse, the spirit itself, not me, not you, the spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons, that we are the children of God. And that's really, really important for our children to understand as they go in and out and they fulfill their dreams and their accomplishments, if they're born again, they're spirit-filled, that teaching them and letting them grow and become mature in the spirit and developed in the spirit, that they'll be able to let the Holy Spirit bear witness, amen? And that's why it's so important for them to gain a relationship with the Lord and with Father God so they can have that confidence. They can know him in every age, stage, wherever they are in their life, they can be confident in that. And when they come upon people that say, Lord, Lord, amen, especially those type of people, that they can trust what their spirit is telling them, amen, that their spirit will bear witness, the Holy Ghost in them will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he goes on to say in verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. There it is, suffer with him. Amen. And so, again, the danger of always naming it, and want to be high achievers, you know, which is fine. But this type of stuff breeds competition, unhealthy competition. And that shouldn't be within the body of Christ. Amen. If you really are the true church. He says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also what glorified together. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, hallelujah. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Yes, it's the earnest expectation. Amen. So when we have an earnest expectation, he said what? Our expectation will not be cut off. Amen. And it's waiting. Amen. The creation, the creature, amen, is waiting. Amen. For the manifestation of the sons and daughter of God. Your dog is anxiously waiting for you to feed him his food. Amen. That bird, that cat, that fish is waiting for you to feed them, waiting for the manifestation of what you have for them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Amen. As if for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because, verse 21, here it is, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Glory, 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 hallelujah. There it is. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. He said that the creature itself should also be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means me and you, amen, the church. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to me. They're going to be delivered to me. They're going to deliver to you. They're going to be sent to us for us to help them, amen, for us to set them free from the bondage of what? Corruption, amen, corruption of sin, corruption of the seed that's in them that's causing them to die daily. Amen. And there would be what? He said, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means in order for them to be set free, I have to be free. You have to be free. Amen. And so that's why it's so important for us to walk in obedience and to live in the Spirit. Amen. And to embrace truth, because truth has the ability to set us free. Amen. So I had to read the 21st verse because that's the thing that the Lord wanted me to highlight. In this message is that your earnest expectation will not be cut off, amen, and the manifestation of what you need, amen, what he's purposed, what he's planned for you, what he's favored for you is in his sons, in his daughters, amen, whom he's going to align you with. And that's why I'm praising, thanking God for, you know, new people that I meet and new relationships, amen, and divinely connecting with people who are sons and daughters of God. Because as I said, that's where our inheritance is at, amen. Our inheritance among those that are sanctified. Our inheritance is those things that we create, our businesses, those things that he's given us to our care, amen, things we're given to govern, amen. So I wanted to just share that. Now, the importance of being the firstborn among many brethren, which our children are, is to ensure that they are partakers of the fruit, first partakers of the fruit. And that's how we have to make sure we teach them not to cast their pearl before the swine, teach them not to give away their favor, teach them not to compromise their gifts and their talents, amen? And in the message or that God has given them, or the work that God has given them, that we protect that, amen, and that they are not to allow that to become skewed or mixed with anything or anyone that is not truly receiving the message from the heart. And the Lord will show you those people, amen. And so my prayer, as I bring to close this broadcast, is that as the Lord began to talk with you, mothers and fathers, in the spirit, even natural mothers and fathers, aunties, uncles, nieces, that you understand that we're not just raising our children to be high achievers, amen. We want them to be able to truly leave a legacy, amen, and to honor the legacy that we are leaving, amen. And again, God knows how to manifest that. And I've had to be, you know, had to ask God, Lord, help me, because I'm seeing some things manifested in my children or my grandchildren that I don't agree with. But that's not my time. That's not, you know, God understands what the way they think, amen. So I have to get over the culture shock of certain things, amen. And I say, okay, God said, okay, there's time. There's time to for me to deal with that, amen. He said, but you need to make sure you're not confining them, or that you're not overly being protective for trying to, I don't want you to stunt or even be a stumbling block to our young people in their growth because of what we see, amen. Because we got to trust that God has them, amen, and he knows how to work out those things. So we don't want to stunt their liberty, amen. The thing that's really, really a blessing in me sitting with the Lord with this this prayer and this appeal is that they will be trained to trust and know that they're going to be tested with that message, amen. But if they have a good solid foundation, then they'll be okay. And that they have to be taught how to govern the message, how to govern that anointing, because that's what it is, it's an anointing, and not to allow those who would try to latch on to them for the purpose of gain, personal gain, amen, and let their seed, let the seed of that message, let the seed of that word, that work grow, as I said yesterday, organically, naturally, amen. Trust that they understand and know who they are, amen. And again, that speaks to what? Identity. Identity, amen. And again, their identity is found in their spiritual roots, amen. And that they were able to grow and go from faith to faith, even in the express image of the Lord. And that's why it's important for us to make sure that they understand that they have to be aware of familiar spirits. Because one thing that I had come to understand about people who try to pinpoint me and try to dictate and predict what God is doing in my life is because they had a familiar spirit. Amen. And that's one thing that I... Sorry for this word, use of this word, but it's just how I feel. Hate a familiar spirit because it breeds contempt. Amen. And he said he'll do a new thing. And the one number one thing that will kill a move of God is somebody who figured they know how it go. Amen. That's why I thank God for taking me the way he took me and me living in the spirit by the spirit. And I go from faith to faith, even in the express image of the Lord. Amen. And that's why it's important for transformation to take place. Amen. And religious folk and people who are in legalism, those who are dead spiritually, can't grow. Amen. And most certainly, if you're the devil, that's your identity. That's who you are. You have your father, the devil, that's who you are. You can try to trick and deceive and mask and all this stuff. But again, a wolf is a wolf. I don't care what kind of sheep only put on, what sheep put on, that's who they are. And our young people need to be able to identify that. So that's one of the things that I really want to leave you with as I close this message is that our children must, first and foremost, must know who they are. Amen. Their identity must be covered. We need to know how to cover that. And it's a beautiful thing to behold their transformation. I'm beholding my grandson's transformation and allow them to be able to express themselves and grow in a way that you know is godly and represents holiness. Amen. Holiness. And it's important for them to go from faith to faith because in this ever-changing world, you always have people that's trying to pinpoint. Again, for every real, there's a counterfeit. Amen. And we don't want people who were old yesteryear, amen, who are no longer anointed, try to impose and press upon them what they think. No, that don't fit with my anointing. That has nothing to do with God doing my life. And that's why I'm constantly rebuking people because I know the anointing God has on my life is always fresh. I have a pioneer anointing, and he will never and I will never allow people to pinpoint me, amen, try to put me in a box. If you don't have revelation, if you're not joined to me by the Spirit, if I don't know you by the Spirit, if you don't have the Spirit of God, first of all, you're none of his. And so we need to teach our children how to praise and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Celebrate them and who they are. Amen. And just thank God for their life. Thank God for what they're doing. Amen. And I pray for you. I pray for your family. I pray for all those who God has given to your care. Amen. I decree and declare that your seed will be as the sands of the sea. Amen. And I certainly thank you for being here with me for this special presentation. I thank God that you have decided to stop by. I'm wishing you peace, blessings, and much love. May you enjoy the rest of your day, your rest of your afternoon. And I'm working on the montage. I'm excited about it. The new offering, it will be posted in a few days. Until then, until the next broadcast, wishing you peace, blessings, and much love. In the name of Yeshua. Love you.